for Nigeria in particular, it's been quite serious as far as their economy goes and the direct impact on their poultry industry. H5N1 being a zoonotic disease, meaning infectious to humans, it continues to pose a threat to human health. However, luckily we haven't had very many human cases in Nigeria. These high-path H5N1 strains, as far as Nigeria is concerned, we're watching it quite closely in the poultry markets because it obviously is a food security issue.
It was first thought that infected migratory birds from Europe and Central Asia had spread the new strain, but scientists say that the migration season has not yet started this year. How else can the bird infection be brought into the country?
Yeah, I think rumors get around, and the truth of the matter scientifically is that this disease is spread multiple ways. One of the major ways that it's spread and what we have suspected has caused most of the outbreaks have been through the movement of domestic poultry, domestic chickens or domestic ducks. These animals are moved both legally and illegally within a nation and internationally, and that is how this disease spreads quite a bit. However, wild birds have played a relatively small role in moving the disease from country to country during their migration movements. However, a lot of those times, those infections don't result in larger infections of poultry or people. This particular strain that has just hit Nigeria has hit well before the migratory movement of birds heading south from Europe and Asia, and so therefore it's not likely at all that wild birds played a role in this new outbreak.
Are you familiar with this so-called class 3 strain of H5N1? Is it supposed to be milder than the class 1 or class 2 categories?
I'm not sure if I would say milder. It's difficult to kind of say that about a strain where it really depends on the route of exposure and the dose of exposure that a poultry may get or a human may get, and how a specific strain may act in poultry or wild birds or people may be very different from one to the other. But this strain in particular has not been seen in Nigeria before or on the African continent before, as far as I know, and so it's new there from Europe and Asia where we've seen it circulating previously.
What is the threat posed by the international trade in illegal or unreported movement of poultry across borders?
It's huge, and it's not limited to poultry and avian influenza, but both legal and illegal movement of domestic and wildlife animals and products is largely unrecorded and unregulated and undefined. And given the increased globalization of today's world, where we have much more contact with different species of animals, wildlife and livestock, and humans with these animals through the trade, we're seeing an increase in occurrence of emerging infectious diseases. I think we need to keep a better eye on what animals are going where and making sure that we have all the routes that animals are shipped or traded well mapped out so that if there is an instance of disease like this, we know exactly where the animals came from. And in instances where there's a legal trade, this is something we need to really clamp down on from, you know, all countries. We need to make sure that illegal trade of both domestic and wildlife, and really especially wildlife when we're talking about new zoonotic diseases, because wildlife carry many diseases that we as humans and our domestic animals haven't been exposed to. And so illegal trade of those products is a big deal, and actually it's a multi-billion dollar industry comparable to the drug trade. And we've pretty much largely ignored it, and we need to start to pay close attention to it, not just for the conservation issues, but for the health issues.
Have we made a lot of progress in that end, even in developing countries where it's much harder to track?
We have not made a lot of progress at all. We're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg of the enormity and the economic impact of illegal domestic and wild animal trade. And we haven't even started to try to get the appropriate regulations out there so that this risk of disease and the threats to conservation are curbed, such as SARS and monkeypox and avian influenza.
Well, a couple of the states that were hit in Nigeria are in the north of the country, Katsina and Kano. How effective are the health infrastructures of West African countries in tracking down and killing all the birds suspected of spreading the infection?
You know, it really depends, and Nigeria is one of those countries that have been wonderfully working very diligently, their government, with their internal sources and external international assistance, and they're doing a wonderful job of responding to these outbreaks. You know, sometimes, even though a developing country may have a little bit less infrastructure, sometimes it's easier for them to contain some of these outbreaks because you don't have the highways, you don't have so many commercial poultry farms where you have people moving from one to another constantly. And so in some ways, it's almost easier to keep a handle on some of these outbreaks in developing countries as opposed to more developed countries. But it always varies depending on the type of outbreak that occurs, where it occurs, and in what species it occurs.
Do you think that these pandemics spread easily across national borders, or have Nigerian authorities effectively stopped them in the past from heading to neighboring countries?
You know, it's a tough thing to say why something doesn't spread beyond. Sometimes it might be because of the efforts that are instigated by the authorities, and I do believe that that has played a large role in what Nigeria has done to keep it from spreading beyond there. However, also, you know, sometimes it's just because there just didn't happen to be the contact there and the opportunity for the disease to spread. So we've been very lucky. I think Nigeria has done a wonderful job of keeping the disease from moving from their country to other countries. However, we have yet to really define how this disease keeps making its way into Nigeria and other countries as well. We have much more work to do on this.
How dangerous is the eating of eggs by our listeners when bird infection is so rampant?
You know, luckily, avian influenza is a relatively wimpy virus in that, you know, any product that is cooked, you're not going to get the infection from. However, the risk comes from contact with raw products. So, therefore, if someone, and usually people that are infected is usually women and children because they're the ones that prepare the meals. So if they are plucking a bird, a domestic duck or a chicken that's infected, and they're removing the feathers and they're eviscerating the animal preparing it for dinner, that's when they become infected. But once an item is cooked, like an egg is cooked and everything, you're not going to get sick from it.
Can veterinary services test the eggs and the poultry for infection before they're eaten, or do they just automatically kill off the animals?
They automatically kill off the animals and all products. And they do the same in a buffer area around where the infected animals were in order to make sure that nothing has made its way out. However, you can never be 100% sure of anything, and this is also why we have such terrible losses of so many birds whenever there might be an outbreak of one or two birds, because we need to make sure that people are kept safe and that this virus isn't getting into humans.
And I see what you mean. That means a huge loss for the country's economy as well.
It does, through direct loss of poultry and then through them not being able to trade externally because other countries don't want to import the disease themselves. So it's a huge impact on these economies, especially these developing countries.
Dr. Smith, how much progress has been made in developing an effective vaccine for the H5N1 strain, and is there a track record of saving lives?
You know, it's always hard to show what we've done to save lives. You tend not to see as much of the good that's outcome by the absence of disease. It's hard to measure that. The vaccines out there are pretty good. However, the problem is that this virus is constantly changing and developing and breaking into new and different strains. And so our ability to keep up with the virus in creating new vaccines, because the vaccine has to target the specific type of strain and the specific way that it may have morphed into something a little bit different. And so it's very challenging for us to keep up, and we have not had great success in doing that, even with the poultry vaccines, let alone the human vaccines. But we continue to try.
It's a very surprising disease, the way it changes forms. And since 2003, that's just 5 years ago, in Nigeria alone, 240 of the 400 infected have died since bird flu was first detected in the country. How does this compare with other countries around the world?
It's quite a bit more. In countries like Egypt and Indonesia, the disease has become what we call endemic, which means that it is so entrenched in the domestic poultry there that we don't feel that we can stamp it out and rid the country of it. And it's very hard to keep track of where it's gone. No one really knows where exactly it is. It's throughout the population, sort of poultry. And so in those situations, those countries are hit much more hard with human deaths as opposed to other countries where the disease is not yet endemic.
So there's always a bright side to look at: the 300 million birds worldwide that have been slaughtered because of the disease. How does this compare in Nigeria with other epidemics and the cost of such damage and threat in other countries?
It's pretty on par with what they have to do. The regulations are pretty standardized, actually, across many of the countries. We work closely with many countries on their preparedness planning and their outbreak response techniques, and a lot of these countries have the exact same responses. you know, they have something like a 3-mile buffer zone, and all poultry and domestic poultry in those areas need to be euthanized effectively when there has been